So, thanks again for coming in. Just start off, would you mind saying your name and, if you don't mind, your date of birth?
Vivian Dorothy McHugh, Nee Hayes. My date of birth is the 12th of the 12th, 1939.
Thank you. And when did you first come to the Harris?
Well, I was 12 or 13, so it would be 52, 53, I think. I think I left in 55.
Okay. And what did you come here to study?
Well, I was in the commercial section.
Okay.
So obviously the curriculum was already set out for us.
Yeah.
So being commercial, it was shorthand typing, bookkeeping, and it was brilliant.
Okay. Can you remember any of the other subjects that you studied?
History. I think we did geography. I said bookkeeping. Well, I know we did sport. I remember that. Yeah, we did the sport in the college, and we went on to the park for hockey. We changed at the Harris Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Remember that. So I can't really. Mainly shorthand typing. You know, the commercial side.
Yeah. So how? What did you make of it when you first came to the Harris?
Well, actually, I came to the Harris the week after everybody started.
Yeah.
The reason being, we had an Austrian girl just after the war in our house from my sister's school at Fishwick, and she was an exchange, so she stayed 3 months, and then my sister could go back to Vienna.
Okay.
And my sister, you see, it was only 7 years after the war had finished.
Yeah.
And my sister said, I'm not going, I'm frightened. And I was 12, and my mother turned to me and said, do you want to go? I said, yes, innocently. So it was an education, and that was an education in itself, going a 12-year-old, going with people I didn't know. And
this is fascinating, this is backtracking. So your sister...
It was an exchange holiday through the schools.
Yeah.
But my sister was 3 years older than me. She was higher up. And the exchange was through her.
Okay.
And the girl, Juliana, she came and stayed with us for 3 months.
Oh,
so
right.
In the end, she could speak good English.
Yeah.
So then it was an exchange holiday. When it came to my sister's turn, she said, I'm not going. And my mum just turned to me, do you want to go? Innocent. I'll go. I didn't know where Vienna was. I didn't know what I was going to do. And our first experience was we went down with these mum and dad and like a party of family, took me to Manchester railway station and said, like, bye-bye. And my mum gave me some lemon, condensed lemons. She said, don't drink the water on the train. Use this lemon, which I did. And we went to Chigwell in Kent. The first night at the Nissen Huts, as I'd been in the army, I always remember it smelt damp and it was horrible. And well, we did that. And then we went, obviously, on the train and over the water, you know, over the channel, and went through Europe to get to Vienna. And, of course, the train was late and was stopping and starting. It was on the old trains, you know, it smelt of... So that was my experience. And I grew up.
That was quite an adventure, wasn't it?
It was. And when we went on the trams, the girls, they told me not to speak English because it was only 7 years after the war.
Yeah. And how long were you there for?
6 weeks.
Wow.
Mm. And I did get homesick, I'll be honest, because I was only 12.
Yeah.
And the most embarrassing situation, you see, they were poor and they didn't have really washing facilities or bathrooms or anything to have a washroom. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then Juliana said, oh, we're going to the communal baths. So I thought, well, like Saul Street or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was only a shy girl of 12. And we stripped off. And everybody's talking to each other, having a shower. Oh, I was so embarrassed. I had to turn my back on them. I couldn't stand it.
So coming back to Preston and going to the Harris, it might have been a bit of a letdown.
Well, no, not really, because, as I say, I just came the week after, and the girl who sat next to me, we got talking, Marion King, she lived in St. Peter Street, and her mother and my mother worked in the mill.
Okay.
So we became quite good friends, but then as time went on, you know, move on, don't you? Yeah, but no, I just fitted in right away. It kind of didn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, they knew I was coming. My mum must have told them I'm on holiday and I'll be there a week later. So that was it. I just came.
Do you remember anything about your teachers?
Oh, yes. Mrs. Bairstow was the French teacher, and she took us camping. We went to Ambleside Youth Hostel.
Okay.
And I remember borrowing a haversack, because we hadn't a lot of money, you know. This blooming, and it had a metal frame.
Yeah.
You know. I was thinking about it this morning. We did, I've always said we climbed the Langdales, but I don't know at 12, 13 where we would have actually climbed the Langdales, but I always said we climbed the Langdale. Mrs. Bairstow, I don't remember any other teachers' names apart from her. The typing teacher was very small, the angry lady. And she always kept saying to me, I was looking at the keys, I can remember that. And they had a board up there with the keyboard on, so you did A like this, you know, to feel for them.
Yeah.
She kept saying to me, I was looking at the keys, and I said, I'm not looking at the keys, you are. So what did she do? She kept all the keys, so I couldn't see them.
Yeah.
And anyway, that was it. That was the first year. But because I was topping typing the second year, she was giving me things to type for her. So I remember her.
Some of the people said that they used to put like a cover over the keys.
Yeah, caps.
Oh,
little caps. So that
okay.
A little tiny, like a little metal cap. So she kept saying, I was looking, like, and I said, I'm not, I'm looking, like, you know, like that. And she kept saying, anyway, put the caps on.
And were you typing to music?
Yes, yes, that's right, we were, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was good at, I was top in typing.
Yeah?
It was good.
Excellent. And did you feel like it was very strict, or how did you get on with the teachers?
I think the teachers were very good. No, I didn't feel, you know, threatened by them at all. It was just that she was a bit angry, you know. She was a bit sort of, you know, when you look back, she seemed a bit tense, you know.
Yeah.
And the PE teacher was lovely, but we always got a laugh because she had like a gym slip on, which was short.
Yeah.
And then when she wanted to blow her nose, she lifted the skirt up and she had a little pocket in the knickers and she... Well, we all laughed at that. But she was good, because I was good at sport, and I used to run down the gym and fly over the vault and onto her shoulders. And she lifted, you know, like, what's that film? I can't remember now. It's a famous one where she flies.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
Is it Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
I kind of put myself on that. I probably I wouldn't think it was then, would I? But she was nice. And they were all nice, but I can't remember a lot of other teachers, just those, you know.
Okay. And Zendy, you made some friends there. Did you do anything after, sort of extracurricular? Did you do anything after at lunchtime or at the end of the day with your friends?
Well, the first year, we weren't allowed to go out for lunch.
Yeah.
And we had dinner here, which was mashed potatoes, mincemeat and peas, every day. We weren't allowed to go out, and I can't remember what the pudding was. But we accepted it, you know. I never thought it was awful. But the second year, we could go out.
Okay.
We used to go to Bruciana's.
Oh, right.
Take our sandwiches.
Okay.
And as long as we bought a coffee. And
right.
I thought I was really, you know, I'd arrived. Because I love coffee, I've always loved coffee. And at home, we had that camp coffee.
Yeah.
And I never liked it. And I used to pass Cardoma. There used to be a Cardoma cafe in Fishergate.
Yeah.
Nearly next to Mark, so that's gone now. And that smell of coffee used to bring me in. I never went in because, you know, we hadn't the money, but Bruciana's, I thought, was really posh. And then I had quite a bit of trouble with my teeth. So I took myself off to the dentist on Winkley Square, a Mr. Wishart, and he was a Scottish man. It was really bad tempered with his nurse, but he was lovely with me.
Yeah.
So I went and had all my fillings done with him. You know, I think I gained confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
Going coming here.
Yeah.
I felt a grown up and kind of in a way privileged.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I felt better than other people, but I felt privileged that, you know, I was having a good education.
Yeah.
And I was going to make it work, you know, I was really happy.
Excellent.
Very happy here, yes.
How did you feel about the uniform?
Oh, the uniform. Well, the hat was the worst one.
Yeah.
Well, because it was a berry, but it stuck up here, really big. And it was so unfashionable, you know, it was horrible. But the headmaster at my time, was Mr. Cobham, I remember his name, and he lived on Newall Lane. Well,
okay.
I lived at the top of Newall Lane, and he used to ride his bike to college, and so did I.
Oh, okay.
Well, you'd have to have a hat on.
Right, okay.
Because you bumped into Mr. Cobham. Sometimes I rode with him. I don't know whether I spoke to him. I can't remember that. But we just had to make sure we had our hat on, even when we were cycling. But after the first year, we were allowed to wear berries. So my sister bought me a blackberry, and that was better.
So when, it's kind of go back a bit, how did you know about the Harris before you came here, or how did you find out about?
No, what happened was I sat the 11 plus, I think twice, and failed. And I was a borderline the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the borderlines didn't go through, apparently, that year. This is what my mum told me. And then the headmaster, Mr. Haydock, who was in the primary school, Farringdon Park Primary School.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, I'd gone to Fishwick, hadn't I, then? Yeah, because you'd sit 11 plus at the primary, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, and I failed, and then I went to Fishwick. That's right. Now, Mr. Haydock must have been in contact with my mother and said, you know, that he must have told her about the Harris College exam. And my mum paid him, you know, for private lessons.
Okay.
For, I think it was maths and English. And I can always, you know, there again, you know, you used to go to his house and halfway through his wife would come with nice china cups and saucers, biscuits, you know, quite nice that. And then I went to Fishwick School, that's right. And then I sat at Fishwick School. And there was me and a boy sat the exam. And when we came back to school, of course, the teacher, the English teacher at Fishwick, wanted to know about the exam.
Yeah.
You know, and I told him. And then there was also, you had to write a little essay on a few authors.
Okay.
You know. And I thought, golly, I don't know whether I know any of those. The only one I struck out was Charles Kingsley.
Okay, yeah.
When I was little, I had a pictorial book of the water babies.
Yeah.
So I wrote about the water babies. Now, when I told them in the class that, they all laughed. But I thought, and later on, of course, I did pass.
Yeah.
So, of course, my mum and dad were very proud of me passing.
Yeah.
And my dad worked at Leyland Motors because they never had a lot of money. And he bought me an atlas and a dictionary to help me along, you know. Yeah. And I can remember coming home from school. We had a bureau at the thing was down for me to do my homework, and I watched Muffin the Mule. Very thrilling.
Was it Farringdon Park Primary School, did you say?
Farringdon Park County Primary, yes.
And Mr. Haydock was there?
He was the headmaster.
But then, and then you went to Fishwick?
Yes, I think just for a year.
Okay, yeah.
And then I sat and I passed and came to the Harris.
Okay. So you had some kind of like private lessons. Did the school do anything to prepare you for the Harris exam?
I couldn't really remember that. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't think so, because I'd say I went to Mr. Haydock's privately for these extra, you know, lessons.
Yeah. And so you say your dad worked at Leyland Motors.
Yes.
And was your mum working in the mill then?
No, she was just at home. Mum at home, yeah. As most of them were in those days, weren't they? You know, my mum did work in the mill. I mean, she worked very hard before she married my dad, you know, so.
And so, were you So you had an older sister. Do you have any other siblings? Did they come to the Harris or did they go to secondary school?
What it was, actually, it's a long story, I'll try and cut it short. I was born in 1939, of course, that was the start of the war. Yeah. I was born in Frodsham, near Chester.
Oh, okay.
My father was from Frodsham, my mother was from Preston. And my mother was actually the head cook and bottle washer at the vicarage, you see. So very involved with the church there. And my dad used to take me down the village. He used to say to me, "Mum, dress her up, the baby, and I'll take her down." Oh, I have to just tell you this, I'm going to make my story. My mother kept trying to have babies and they kept failing.
Yeah.
And my father came home one day and he said to me, "Mum, our dolly's just died giving birth to a baby." That was my dad's cousin.
Yeah.
And so my mum said, "Get your coat on, we'll go and give our condolences to the father." So they went to the dad and he said, "I'm sorry about your wife dying, like, what are you going to do with the baby?" And he said, "Yeah, I don't know, I've got all these kids." My mum said, "We'll have her." They got a taxi, somebody took them to Chester, Countess of Chester Hospital, picked me up and took me home. That was the December of 1939 when I was only six days old, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was adopted in the April.
Oh, okay.
But in the meantime, so they were still in Frodsham, and my dad had said, "Oh, dress the baby up and I'll take her down there. This is Sunday morning." She said, "Oh, that's nice, he's showing off." But she said, "I found it. It was parking behind the Red Lion pub and all the men were giving you a little drink." She said, "I always knew you'd like a drink." So I was weaned on beer. So then we came to Preston because my mother couldn't stand everybody saying I look like the family.
Oh, right, okay.
So they came to Preston and people didn't know I was adopted, you see.
Okay.
And I didn't know till I was 12 when I was heartbroken.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was a great shock.
It's big, yeah.
Big shock to get to 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so the kind of the first one to go to last, but they were very pleased for you. They were very proud.
Oh, very proud. And they couldn't really afford. We had to go to Lingard's for the uniform, which is expensive. You know, now you can go to Asda and all these places. But they did it. But you're saying about my siblings. I was born 39. In the December of 1940, my mother's sister, husband and two children were bombed in Manchester and killed. Left two children. And they took them in. My mum and dad took them in. So they had three children then.
Well, they might not have had children of their own, but they raised a good family, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They were very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
we're digressing, aren't we?
But I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, so they didn't come here. The eldest of the girls, she was 13, so when my mum took her, so she was only 3 years, and then she went to work at 16, you see. My other sister stayed at Farringdon Park County Primary and then got a job when she just left school.
Okay. How did your sisters or did any of your friends back home, how did they react to you coming to the Harris? Because it was quite a special thing, wasn't it?
I think my sister was jealous.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Because my mum and dad were so proud, you see.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, and I'm not saying they favoured me, but, I think she was jealous.
Yeah. But, your other friends at the school that you were going to, were they pleased for you, or...?
I can't really remember that. I think, as I say, they laughed at me because I'd written the thing on Charles Kingsley. But, no, I don't think they were happy or displeased, really, you know, were they?
Yeah. So when... You did the course here and you did your typing, you did very well. Where did you go to work after finishing?
Well, we finished in the July and I just said I want to work in a travel agency. So there was a travel agency on Freygate called Heinz Travel Agency. It's no longer there now. And So I literally just went knocking on the door.
Yeah?
I just went in and I said, like, give me a job. And he said, he was very nice, Mr. Hind, and he said, well, it's Preston holidays, like July, you know, we're very, very busy. He said, come and see me in September. Yeah. I said, all right, thank you. So I went home, told my mother. She said, well, get a job. I said, no, I'm waiting till September. So I did. And I went to work in Hines Travel Agents. So I didn't use my shorthand, but my typing came in very handy.
Yeah.
And I worked in this shop, you know, getting people up. In those days, you had to ring up for every holiday and whatever.
Okay.
You know, you had no
yeah.
commute. It's just a different thing. But I loved it.
Yeah.
And I used to go on lots of holidays. And I loved travelling. And
yeah.
I just love travelling.
So it was... I mean, it's quite an unusual thing. What put you onto the travel agent?
I can't tell you. I just got in my mind that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, years before that, when people say, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? I wanted to be an air hostess.
Okay.
So my mum did actually pay for them, which was nice, but stupid, really. On one of these pleasure boats, aeroplanes going up from Blackpool.
Okay.
And you go along and you turn around and you come back. Well, I'm travel sick anyway. So I was as sick as a dog, and I thought, well, I can't be an air hostess, can I? So that went out. So it must have been the travel bug I had.
Yeah. Mm. Well, maybe it was a trip to Vienna. Put you onto it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember when you were still at the Harris? Did they help you to find a job, or did they give you any advice about how to...
When I was at Harris?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember that.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember that.
Because some people seem to think that it might have been for the boys more, that some of the employers
came in. Well, that's it, because they were technical, weren't they? You know, there was apprenticeships in those days, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember that. No.
I mean, was there anything, we'll say the... Yeah, how many were in the class?
There was 30, wasn't there? 30 in the junior, both girls, and 30 in the boys, because there was 60, wasn't there, total for the year?
Okay, yeah.
So there was 30, and I can remember there was 4 boys in our class.
Okay.
Yeah, and also I can remember, and he was called Stuart Peebles, and I can remember... And he went into the police cadet. And when he was going, travelling on the A59 to Liverpool, he went up, before he went on that bad bend going to Tarleton.
Yeah.
And he got killed on there. And he just left school, and I always remember that. Yeah, so every time I go
yeah.
on that bridge, I always think of that boy.
Oh, yes, I know the one you mean.
Stuart Peebles, and he was on that bad bend.
Oh,
he was on his motorbike. So he didn't have a, you know, a life at all. He just started in the police cadets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, was there... I mean, also you had a class of girls, mainly girls.
Yes, 4 boys.
Doing the commercial. I mean, was there anything about... I mean, the impression I get is sort of, you know, you got a really good education.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, I suppose what I'm thinking about, and I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent, that was anything ever said about sort of, well, you need to go out to work, or you should work for a while, but that sooner or later... Your role was to kind of get married and have a family. Was there anything ever?
Well, we never had sex education. That we're going to say we never had anything like that. No, I can't remember anybody guiding us about the future. No, I think that was when I left. You know, my mother. You know, in those days, it was a thing, wasn't it, to get married and all that. And that's what messed my life up. It was my personal life.
Yeah. No, I think I was thinking that, you know, you got the, you know, everybody says it was, you know, it's a really good education
that you
got here. But that, I suppose there would still have been an assumption that, well, you might work for a while, but then you'd probably give it up, or was it sort of... you were kind of expected that you would have careers?
From school, you're talking about, not from home.
From the house, I suppose.
No. I can't remember anything like that. Mind you, I have got a bit of a bad memory, so I have to excuse me on that one.
No, I'm sorry, Vivian. It's just something, that's only just occurred to me, really.
No. I mean, all we were concerned about was doing well. Now, there was a girl, I was at the back, I can tell you where I was, at the back of the room, and this girl here was Kathleen Ball.
Yeah.
Then it was Vivian Hayes, and then there was another, then there were two more, I can see them, and I can't just think of the names of four of us.
Yeah.
Now, when we were having an exam, you know, they'd read it out, who was the top, and we all go, Kathleen Ball, you know, she was brilliant, her. But often I was second, I've done it, you know. Or if I was top, like I was top in typing, I was top in art, and I think I was top in history. Oh yeah, the art was another one. I was good at pencil drawing. I forgot about that one. Yeah. So it was a bit of a, you know, but she was cleverer than me, you know, but I was like chuffed when I picked her. But I've heard, you know, she's not good in health now. She, you know, you lose touch with people. Yeah. But it was a bit of a competition. That was important.
Right, you know, okay.
The exam results, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to read them out. You know, I mean, it's a shame if you were at the bottom, but no. I wasn't, I was good.
So you did it before art. So it was quite a varied curriculum, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, as I say, in the sport, you know, going on the... Yeah. On the I remember the hockey one day, a girl, you know, you've got to keep your hockey stick down, because she lifted it up and swatted me in the face. I can remember that. No, I was very happy here, happy, yeah. And also, as I say, I think you felt very privileged, you know, that... it was, you know, I thought it was better than the part school because we had so much different subjects.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the part school, you're either a teacher, a nurse, and what was it, a doctor's if you were really clever. But here, you know, with the typing and shorthand, I mean, that's all I did. You know, I had office jobs. I mean, I did the travel agents for a while, and then things happened, and which I won't go into. My personal life wasn't too good, you know. But I've always fought. You know, I fought through all this, and hopefully, you know, the Harris has given me that get up and go, you know. But I've done lots of things working, you know. I was a school secretary for a long time, and I'm showing you this because it's a show off. I sold $1 million worth of life insurance in a year. So I'm a member of the Million Dollar Round Table, which is an exclusive club in the life insurance business. And that's my certificate there.
Oh, wow.
That I'll have to show off with that one. So I've had a varied career. And there again, my personal life getting in the way. I once went to be a mobile ward. Oh, I sold advertising space at the North End, so I went all round in my car and doing all sorts. And then... and then after the North End, that's right, I joined that insurance company.
Yeah.
And I got really good at that, so I sold all that insurance, you know, I was determined. But I had a partner at the time, so that was, you know, they're dragging me down. And in the end, I finished on that, and I went to the North End selling space, and then I went to be a mobile warden.
Okay.
Which was totally... out of character, out of, you know, you're learning and everything. Anyway, I did that for 2 years, and I had this partner, which was, as I said, dragging me down. And then I got a job as a resident warden, so I thought, well, I'll go there and get shut of him, and then 2 years, I'm off. 20 years later, I was still there, but I did get rid of him. In fact, the corporation, they were very good with me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't move, he was like a sitter, and I moved out, so they went to him and said, they were sacking me, so he had to go. And they reinstated me. So they were very good with me, Preston Borough Council.
So that is varied, isn't it? So you went with a travel agent and you did...
I've done all sorts, I'll tell you.
Kind of travelled with the job?
Oh, I did, yeah.
And then
I did.
School secretary, and then and then obviously you went into sales at
went
some
into
point.
Sales, yeah. Yeah, I've done all sorts, honestly. And I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was the first secretary of what was the Elm School, you know, the School for Handicapped Children.
Okay.
It was on Cromwell Road. and it was under the Lancashire, you know, the health.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they became under Preston Borough Council, which was then.
Yeah.
So I moved with them, and I was the first secretary. Mrs. Henry was the headmistress. And she was very good to me when things were going haywire. But the personal life, you know, not so good. But I've always had to, you know...
Yeah.
My husband left me with a little boy at 5. So I've always had to struggle, I think, you know. But it keeps you strong, but I've had a good grounding, haven't I?
And did you ever do any more... Did you do any more training or anything, or...
No. The only thing I trained for I had no nursing qualifications. I hadn't really any training, only that I looked after my mother, my auntie and all that.
Mm.
But suddenly I was on my own. I worked on my own for 20 years as a warden, resident warden.
Right.
But you have to have guidelines from Preston Borough Council and then became Preston City Council.
Yeah.
So you had guidelines. So we did go for training for things like that. And I did get a warden's certificate. I went to Blackburn College for a year.
Okay.
To get a certificate to, because there again I thought, well, if I get this certificate, I can always move on. But you see, it became a family.
Yeah.
With being adopted and these sisters had buzzed off, and you know, so they had like all these aunties and uncles. And and I didn't say, oh, that's lovely. They get me one, you know, honestly, I was spoiled. They were so, so kind of. You always had a bad apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
But generally, they were wonderful people. Oh, so. You know, I'm, of course, with training, because I'd paperwork and I'd got to check on people. I had 30 flats and about 36, 38 people and I had to care for.
Yeah.
And I had to know them and I had to be there when they were dying. And, you know, so it was a different way.
Yeah.
But in a way, I think sometimes you're guided to these things, you know. Yeah. I think when you're born, you have a little map here and that's what you're going to do. So whatever I've done, I've taken it on board, I've been happy doing it, you know, apart from my personal life, you know, and that's all I've been an experience, so it's made me stronger, you know, so that's me really.
And just about when you went to the trial, so when you were at the Harris, obviously you were kind of commuting in, and when you went to the travel agent, were you still... living at home then?
Oh, yes, because when I was only, you know, 16 when I left school, 15, 16.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You didn't live with boys, you didn't do anything you shouldn't do. And
certainly not.
Your mother would go mad. And I got married when I was 20, and I shouldn't have done, really. I had my son when I was 22, and, you know, you're two. In those days, you know, in that sort of area, you wasn't thinking, you know.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated going to the travel agents, because it's, I mean, a lot of the other people they went to Askews or the council or whatever. It just seems quite an unusual thing to have done. But
as I said, it was just that I wanted to be an air hostess.
Yeah.
So this travel bug must have been in me. Well, as I say, I travelled on my own from 12. Yeah. I didn't know any of this party.
Yeah.
Nobody from my sister's school went, so I didn't know a soul. Oh, it was quite brave, really, when I look back. Or ignorant.
I think it's very brave. I don't think I would have done it.
In those days, when there was no sort of facilities, you know, you couldn't ring home or anything. I couldn't speak to my mum or anything.
Yeah.
And write a letter, you know.
Yeah. Did you pick up any German?
Very little, really. Yeah. I used to try and practice it, you know.
Yeah.
I could probably understand more than I can actually say. But I got myself... You know, like anybody going abroad, you know.
Yeah.
And I sing that song, Dankeschön, Wiedersehen. Oh, I can't even remember it now. Dankeschön, Wiedersehen, Wiedersehen. I wish I could speak in the Deutsch. Boom, boom.
I think we've covered so much and it's sort of rattled along. I mean, is there anything else, Vivian, about your time at the Harris, or reflecting back, and were there any incidents or any pranks that you got up to with you and your friends or anything like that?
No, I think I was a bit more adventurous in the second year, because I met this girl who was quite adventurous, but I didn't do any, he didn't in those days.
Yeah.
Didn't do any pranks or anything.
Well, what about, when you went from your secondary school to the Harris, was it a different kind of ethos or atmosphere? Did it feel different coming to
Harris?
Yes,
it did. It felt very important, and as I say, I felt very privileged, and I was very pleased to be here.
Yeah?
Yes, I felt like I'd grown up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in town as well, you're kind of on your own, you know, like they're all coming in from different places. So I was coming here on my own and going back on. So it gave you confidence, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Where you're in a big school and you're just one of a number, aren't you, you know?
Yes, it would have, it's a small
So it's smaller classes and I just enjoyed learning.
Good.
I never hated coming or anything, you know, I was always glad and say I brought my homework. My mum had the bureau ready, you know, and I was did my homework and, you know, just proud, really, and glad.
Let's have a look at your certificate.
Oh, yeah, you have to look at that. I brought it all the way. I thought it might fall. Actually, I did open it last night. There was a cup, well, my first, when you said first aid certificate, though, when I was a warden, I had to do, you know, courses, but I haven't brought it for that. The only thing is, they put these Americans, they put Viv McHugh, and I was mad about that. Impressive,
So who were you working for at this time?
Combined Insurance Company of America. It's on the top here. Combined Insurance Company of America.
And did they have was there an office in Preston?
No. I think they were just an agent. We went round to every... We went cold calling.
Okay.
A different town every week.
Okay.
We got to the town. You got a map. They did a lot of this...
Oh, so you were travelling around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Went in a different town every week. And by the end of the week, you knew that town. And out. And, you know, I have worked in Toxton. Yeah. In those days, you know, day and hour. Used to go in the pubs and all sorts. I was... Real daredevil, I suppose.
Wow. That's amazing. Did you get anything other than the fancy certificate? Did you get a bonus?
I got loads of cups, but I got rid of them when I moved.
Yeah.
But I had loads of cups all up on the... You know, I did very well, obviously I did. Well, what happened was I met a man, not a boyfriend, but he was a lot younger than me. I met him on this course, and he had one of these.
Yeah.
And he went to Abu Dhabi. And I went over to Abu Dhabi to see him.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to go over there and work with him. But I like England. It's too false to me, these Arab countries.
I mean,
You know, the trees are not real. There's nothing real, and it's like Twinkle Town at night.
Yeah.
You know, I like the countryside. I like the earth.
Yes.
I wouldn't go. I would have made a lot of money, but money's not that important to me.
Yeah.
I've always worked. I've always had two jobs. You know.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah.
You know, I did go into care work when I was at school. When I was a school secretary, I went. In care homes, caring for the elderly.
Yeah.
Then for extra money, I've always worked hard all my life.
Yes.
Yeah. But been happy doing it. There you go. Anyway, I don't have to show off of that. I've never showed anybody that. These are only certificates. They're not in there. They're not in there. You nearly got the story of my life there, haven't you?
Well, I think that's about.
That is.
We've rattled through it, but it's been fascinating. Oh, thanks so much.
I hope I've done what I'm supposed to do, but I'm very happy here, and it's been.